Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is outstanding to have you with us today, and thank you very much for spending some of your time with us. We know your time is important. We greatly appreciate you tuning in and listening to this fine program. And again, a shout out to the Raiders. Thank you for mentioning that you listen to us on Hard Knocks. We're big fans of yours as well. Thank you for that mention. Part of the billions all over the place, and we take some time every now and again to shout out different corners of the world. Today, Albuquerque, New Mexico. To all of you in Albuquerque who have been listening, we've noticed the numbers are up. Thank you very much. Big fans of Walter White and Breaking Bad. I'm sure you don't like that distinction, being known as, you know, something like that, but we like you. We love you, actually. Thank you for listening. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Let us know where you're listening from. We'll shout you out as well. We can't do a billion shout outs. Mathematically, there isn't enough time, but we will shout out some. We will shout out some.
And I think Albuquerque, quite frankly, is happy with the way things worked out with Breaking Bad because it's now a tourism destination. People want to see the Walter White house, and people want to do the Breaking Bad tour of certain sites around the city. So as much as it may have painted them in a bad light with the whole methamphetamine thing,
yeah,
it does lead to future tourism when people want to see various landmarks from a show.
Also, let me be clear. I don't even know if that show was set in Albuquerque. Was it?
I believe
know it was,
so.
Was it Santa Fe? Those are the only two cities I know in New Mexico.
I believe it was Albuquerque is where that...
There's two Qs in that, right?
A bunch of Qs. Qs as far as the eye can see.
You are correct. Albuquerque.
It was in Albuquerque. Yeah, that was just a stab in the dark. But that's one of those states.
Yes!
It's like Nevada. It's either Reno or Vegas. There's really no in between, right? How you doing? You look buff as you flex at me, oddly.
It's because I saw Tommy Brady on the screen there. Oh, just watching this guy just doesn't age at all. The guy's simply amazing. Anywho, that's what I was looking
at. Is that what activated your pecs to pulsate to and fro, seeing Tommy Brady?
I wasn't sure what the follow-up was, but there's definitely a follow-up.
That was my follow-up. I went with it.
It's like, why are you flexing? Oh, I see Tom on TV.
Perfect.
Why does Tom on TV make you flex?
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
We are indeed. To the dial pad guest line we go. 40... Wow. Mm-hmm. I am just all tripped up. You know what? Too many jokes. That's on me. Throw the flag. I looked down at the piece of paper. I had no idea what I was doing. Former Niner, all-pro defensive back. You know him, you love him, and he's always kind enough to share his thoughts and time with us. Eric Davis with us here on 95.7 The Game. ED, sorry you had to listen to all that.
It's incredible. I never, ever know what I'm going to get when I start listening to you guys and pec activation. Okay. Okay, you do have to explain, Lo, why that one.
Don't you know better. These cats, they always owe me for what reason.
I don't know better. I just heard you say that Tom activated your pec.
Whoa. That's what happened. He's being honest.
Man, that five-step drop, E, I think we all felt it.
Is it safe to say that Jimmy G, does he have the capability of being a Tom Brady?
Buy this guy a scooter, because that's a segue right there. Buy him a scooter.
Does he have the capability of being a Tom Brady?
Can this guy become a great quarterback and a franchise quarterback in this league?
Well, you hope that he is. A franchise quarterback is thrown around way too much. Okay. Franchise quarterback. Joe Montana is a franchise quarterback. Brady, that's a franchise quarterback. You know, Roethlisberger, franchise quarterback. I mean, guys that bring multiple championships and that they are there and they're building blocks that you build around. Every starter is not a franchise quarterback. So let's get him to a solid starter that gives you an opportunity to compete in the playoffs. That's the first step. Okay. Do I think he can do that? Yes, I do. I'm not going to freak out over what's happened. Now, there are some things that we still have to wait and see. And I'm still at the same spot. I'm still at the wait-and-see position with Jimmy. But Jimmy doesn't have a lot of snaps. We all know that. Excuse me. He hasn't played a lot. He hasn't played a lot. So we still have to wait and see what he is. In a short spurt, we saw him make some big plays. Lo, you know, the league has a way of humbling everyone.
No question.
It's going to humble you. And the greater the talent, the less the fall when you get humbled. But you will be humbled. It humbles everyone. So the process is just going. And I, for one, actually think what just happened in that brief stint for Jimmy coming back was a good thing. I really do.
And that's because he got humbled, but how much, Eric, can he get comfortable before the first two games of the year, which seemingly are winnable games? Does he have enough time to get comfortable before the opener?
Yeah, no, but now let me go back to that. It wasn't that humbled him. It was that he just saw that, okay, the process has to be, the pace has to be picked up. Remember, this is a guy, not a lot of games. The pace of the game, the things that you're going to see, it's much faster. He missed an entire year of football. I remember doing that my second year in the league when I tore up my shoulder and I came back the next year and it seemed like the game was moving 100 miles per hour and I'm playing corner. You know, playing the quarterback position, he sees this is what's going on. You can't simulate anything of a real game at practice. You can only script it, things happen, and then you get in the game, and Vic Fangio is like, you know what? Well, I know during the week we said we weren't going to hit your quarterback in the head, but Jimmy, here you go, take some of that. That's what Vic started doing. It's like, oh, so you really want to see what Chubb tastes like. Here you go. I'm going to send him at you. So how he will get, if though I'm saying it was a good thing for him to taste that and get that in his face, because now it'll speed up the process for everyone. I think the coaches, I think for Jimmy personally, it's going to make him feel more comfortable because he saw that, okay, I'm not there. I do think he has the talent to get there. I think we've seen him perform well in the game, which means he can do it again. So I'm not worried about it. You guys asked me once before, what did you expect from Jimmy? I expect Jimmy to come out and play well. I expect him to perform well within his offense. I expect him to understand what's going on. Even with the injury, he's been around the offense. He's been around the coaches. He understands what they want him to do. We've seen him perform on the field. So now it's a question of getting that timing and getting the pace back. So I do believe that he gives them the best shot. Do you guys want to go with one of the other quarterbacks?
Not necessarily, no. Eric Davis with us here on 95.7 The Game, and that's an excellent point.
Yeah, so he gives them the best shot. So I expect him to be prepared. Now, once he goes through this season, we'll see, and we can reevaluate whether or not we think this guy's going to be your franchise guy. But that's, you know, everyone throws that name around. Franchise quarterback, great player. You know, it's just a
agreed
difference between good and great. Lowe was a great fullback. Lowe is great at his position. There's not a great fullback in the league because guys don't get a chance to do it as much. There's no great fullback in the league right now. Lowe, and I mean, there's some good players at the position. So, but we throw those terms around too much. So
too loosely.
Trying to make him a franchise quarterback. You know, just because the guy is the starter at the position doesn't make him a franchise guy.
Eric Davis, Spit Knowledge with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Do you feel that John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and Jimmy Garoppolo, are they married together? In a sense, we were talking about this earlier. If Garoppolo doesn't pan out, does that pretty much mark the end for Shanahan and Lynch?
No, it doesn't necessarily mark the end. Look at the other players. So, because you start looking at the totality of the organization, the teams, the players that they've brought in. Free agency, you look at it from a draft standpoint, how do you piece the team together and what direction is it going in? So you look at Lynch and John Lynch and his draft picks and if these guys start to develop and you come in and you look and see, well, you found a tight end, you found a corner, you found a safety, you found linebackers through free agency, the D line that you built together. You know, if you start to look at the pieces that this guy's putting together, you're like, wait a minute. This is truly a really good football team that he's building. and maybe you need more pieces. And sometimes that can jump onto the coach. Well, coach, you need to get these pieces to do more and perform better. So it's not necessarily that you're tied in with the guys. You saw it with the 49ers. I mean, you had pretty much the same roster, and it went from Mike Singletary to John Harbaugh. And the winning total changed. The games, you know, the importance of the games, they started to change because you were winning more and playing in more important games with the same roster. So it's not necessarily that it's going to that they're tied together. Now, as far as the quarterback and the head coach, I think every head coach, I don't think there are two people in professional sports that are more tied together than a head coach and his quarterback, because that head coach decides that this is the guy that I believe is going to give me the opportunity to compete. So once you identify that guy as a coach, I do believe that, yes, Shanahan is tied to his quarterback. You got what you want. The GM gave you the guy you wanted. And if it doesn't work, now you have a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you're talking about, you look at the other pieces that this team and the organization has brought in, Dee Ford, Nicky Bosa, if you think about DeForest Buckner, mm-hmm. you got three guys that possibly this year could get you double-digit sacks. You brought in Quan Alexander, linebacker.
Yep.
Is this team, in your opinion?
Uh-oh, they're coming to get me. They're coming. My bad. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
Hands up.
I had to hide. Okay.
Yeah, drop that phone.
Right, I'm good.
Yeah, so the type of defensive players you brought in, the Quan Alexander, Nicky Bosa, you saw the way DeForest Buckner has been playing. If you believe that you have enough talent, if the quarterback plays well, you have enough talent to make it up to the playoffs. Do you believe this team has that type of talent? If the quarterback plays at a good level,
if the quarterback plays at a good level, do you have your cornerbacks playing at a high enough level? Do you have wide receiver play at a high enough level? Do you have offensive line play at a high enough level? Okay, so much was put into Jimmy Garoppolo's performance the other day in that game. Did you see Bradley Chubb just pushing the first team offensive line around? I mean, did you just see the way the offensive line was being collapsed in those first few plays? So it's a question of everyone else performing. So that's how you have to evaluate it. If the young players, and remember, let's go back to how we were looking at all of this before the Garoppolo injury and everything that was happening. It was still other positions have to pick it up. You felt like you had the quarterback and you were building around it. We've seen flashes of some young guys make some plays. You're going to have to get more of that, and you're going to have to get it consistently. I'm still looking at this saying, I know there are expectations and people are out there saying that this club is prepared now to go and win double-digit games. I'm not sure. Yes, it's much better. It's a process. Winning is a process. You guys know that. You've seen it. You've heard it. It's cliche-ish, but it's true. You have to learn to win. You have to perform. And confidence is gained from doing. I think as if these guys are capable, so is talent there? Let's just answer your question, because I hate when guys don't answer questions. Is the talent there for this team to be in the playoffs? Yes. But talent is not what always wins games. You know that, Lo. Performance wins games. So are the guys in position now to understand how to consistently make the plays necessary to win games? That's what we have to see. I'm not sure that they are there yet to where you can win double-digit games. It's hard, man. Guys, it's hard to win 10 games in the NFL. That's a very difficult thing to do. And once you start going into that spiral, it's also extremely difficult to get out of it if you start off. And if you look at the Niners' schedule, it's not like it's easy out of the chute with these guys. You look at what they have and with the games on the road, and even a Tampa Bay game on the road is tough. It's tough at the beginning of the season. You go down there and you're going to have that oppressive heat on you. You're at 1 o'clock playing, and a team that's been able to prepare for you the entire offseason. It's tough. So these guys got to understand what they're up against. And if you start off 0-1, 0-2, it starts to build. And a good team can easily lose its confidence. So you have to try and avoid those things. So let's just see if the young guys and the other positions, not just the quarterback, can perform, because I don't think Jimmy is ready to carry the team by himself.
Especially when you look at an organization that's 3-13 on the road over the last 2 years with Lynch and Shanahan at the helm. You were talking about how you need to learn how to win in the National Football League. How much tougher is that to learn how to win on the road, particularly when you have your first two games on the road like this year?
It's a mindset. It really is. It's one of those things that you have to understand that it has nothing to do with you. That was established. When I got to the Niners, it was already established. I talked to the guys about that. That's something. John Taylor and I were talking about that a few weeks ago. This is just how we didn't even think about it. It truly was a business trip. The times that we practiced, everything was, you know, like going to the East Coast, and they were, well, West Coast teams have a hard time. And it was like one of those deals. Well, that's why we practice at a certain time in the morning during training camp. But we're accustomed to running around at that time. It was one of those deals where you made certain that all of the demons were exercised. You had no excuses. So once you start doing that and you start playing and performing at those times and doing those things, you understand it. Well, it has no relevance on whether or not you win the game, so don't use it as an excuse. If you start to look at it from the Niners' standpoint, and even if Shanahan, and I don't think, and I know John Lynch and Shanahan aren't doing this, but if you start to believe, well, there is this 3-13 record that we have to overcome, it can feel like you have the world on your shoulders. The true fact of it is that you have one game to play. Whether you've won 13 in a row or lost 13 in a row has no relevance on that one that you have to play. And that's what the group of guys has to understand. That's the difficult thing with a group of young guys, is understanding that has nothing to do with us. Because at some point, there's a group of guys that have to decide, we're just going to kick butt. We're going to do it, and we're just going to win games. And we're going to find whichever way they tell us to win it, we're going to find a way to win it. And that's what has to happen. And there's no secret. There's no trick to it. There's no magic. It's a group of guys deciding that we are going to get this done, and the other has nothing to do with it. They have enough talent to do that. I think they have a good mix of vets and young guys, talented young guys, to get it done. So now the question is whether or not you come out and you do get that performance from your quarterback to where you're doing. I mean, he can't throw up gimme balls like he did in this game. If you're doing that, you're not giving your defense an opportunity. Defensively, if guys are just catching balls off of your head and you're getting moshed and things like that, you're not helping your offense. So it's a question of all the units performing, doing their job, and then you put yourself in position to win. You get a couple of those, you start to expect to get them.
Former Niner, All-Pro defensive back Eric Davis with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. ED, we always appreciate the time. We look forward to doing it again soon. But in the meantime, keep activating those packs.
You know what? I am going to do that. I'm going to get some coffee right now. I'm going to activate my packs. I'm going to go see if I can figure out what Lo was watching.
Don't be talking on the phone while the police is behind you, okay?
Hey, man, at our age, you know, if we can activate our pecs, it's a good thing.
Amen, brother.
Awesome. Thanks, ED.
All right,
fellas.
Yeah,
best.
Wow. Shout out St. Joseph, Michigan,
okay.
Tampa Bay, Florida, Modesto. Those were just three of the many, many texts that came in on the Chilton Auto Body text line that are listening today. You want us to shout out your area? We're happy to have it. Shout out the Raiders, of course, for mentioning how they listen to us on Hard Knocks. Greatly appreciate that as well. Good luck up in Winnipeg with the preseason game against the Packers.
Yeah.
Big fans of yours as well. Big fans.
You mentioned Tampa Bay. The weather today, 93 degrees is the forecast high with a humidity of 57%, rather.
You just have that in front of you?
I just punched it up because Eric was talking about the weather in Tampa Bay, and I thought, geez, we're 17, make that 18 days now.
Whoa, 18 17 days?
Yeah, because today's Thursday,
yeah.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then 2 weeks
and
from
Monday,
Sunday is the opener. So I was trying to see how long range of a forecast I could find. I can get you all the way to Thursday, September 5th. So game week, 3 days before the game, the forecast is for a high of 87 degrees with a 79% humidity. So you're going to be looking at a game day of probably 85, one of those 85-85 days, Lo. What's that like when you're not used to training in that? How early do they need to go? What are they going to be bracing for in this oppressive Tampa Bay heat?
Hell. I mean,
my prediction? Pain,
exactly. I remember going to Tampa Bay in this off season. I'm there in the summertime and working out in the stadium and, you know, trying to get some, running some stairs and running some striders. Just took some creatine, worked out real hard, out there running. I caught cramps, Joe, and I fell on the ground and just had to stay out there and try to just crawl to the stadium side to try to stay warm.
A creatine will dehydrate you like nothing else,
and,
kid.
And I cramped up.
How did you take creatine? Did you put it in a drink?
Yes.
I used to just take the scoop and put it on my tongue and then wash it. You make sure you get all of it. It didn't dilute in the liquid, so I would take the scoop and just put it right on my tongue and wash it right down.
You're tougher than I am.
He's hardcore, dude.
Had you ever heard of anyone doing that?
No,
you no, mix it up, you dude. It you mix it, it, you shake it up in your it, shaker.
Yes. But the thing is, it would settle at the bottom. It didn't mix up
just,
very well.
You just down and get it in, but mix it up. But anyway, I worked out. I was doing like hundreds and striders, and I'm sweating out there, and then I ran some stairs. I caught a cramp, and then my other hamstring tightened. Then my stomach. It's like these.
It worked its way from the bottom up.
Yeah, and
he's just out there, full body cramp.
Yeah, full body cramp. And I'm trying to just crawl over to the side. So when you're asking how hot, I'm telling you, you will see guys cramp up. There will be at least three. There will be four. Mark it down. When we get to the game, I can't
interesting
wait.
Prop coming here. Yeah, exactly. I'm very excited.
I can tell you're on the edge of seat.
Yeah, I love this stuff.
We got cramp say, prop?
Over four. I'm saying. Oh, you again,
just Niners
there.
Or both sides?
Both sides. You're
you
going to
do like an over under on the broadcast crew mentioning an IV.
Yeah,
like over under how
good
many
call.
Times they say IV.
We got to get into
whatever. The actual word counts too if they try to say it, which don't in my
right. Intravenous.
Intravenous fluid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Intravenous fluid.
We definitely need that because you will see guys, the official is going to say, hey, injury timeout. Guy's going to be laying down on the ground. And that defensive line, talking about that's what you're talking about. That's the thing that scares you. Like when you got Quan Alexander, you know, you got certain guys that haven't gotten a lot of reps, and you're going to be expecting a lot out of these guys. Nicky Bosa probably won't play. DeForest Buckner's going to have to play a lot of snaps. Now you got, you know, D Ford. Guys haven't had a lot of snaps. So now they're going to Tampa Bay to travel, and that place is going to be so hot, so humid. You got to make sure that you're ready to go.
87 degrees and 79% humidity is the forecast for game week. And Joe, it just hit me. 2 weeks from today, the season begins with the Thursday night opener. That's pretty awesome.
We're going to be gambling. We're gambling this weekend. Lay the points with Florida. Lay the touchdown. Florida's going to win that game. They're going to cover against Miami.
All right.
Quickly, what was worse? Which heat? New Orleans or Tampa?
Tampa.
Tampa. Wow. That's a wow. I can tell you firsthand, 2006, I went to a bunch of Bucks games. I was living down there. Just being in the stands that early in the season, drinking beers was very difficult. I didn't cramp, of course. I'm a champion.
I've lost 11 pounds at practice.
I said, I don't have any more time for takes. I got to get Lankford involved in the show. I got a million things going on here.
I'm sorry.
More low pec activation and cramp stories coming up. Alex Pavlovich with the latest on Johnny Cueto. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here's a prop for you. Over under 2.5 flubs by Lankford, who's about to give you an update on what's coming up on the game.
Now back to...
There's one.
Thank you, guys. I did flop. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Sonic Internet. Derek Rodriguez gave up 6 earned runs in 4 innings, which led to the Giants' 12-11 loss to the Cubs. The bats were alive, though, as Evan Longoria led off with a homer, while Mike Yastrzemski also went yard. Steven Vogt and Kevin Pillar went back-to-back. The A's stay hot against the Yankees with a 6-4 win last night. They've won 6 of their last 7, and they look to sweep tonight with Tanner Roark on the bump. On to football, the Raiders and Packers square off for Week 3 of the preseason in Winnipeg tonight. You can catch that right here on 95.7 The Game, kickoff at 5 p.m. Now, 49ers reporter Cam Inman joined Joe Lo and Dibs earlier and gave us an update on Nick Bosa.
He doesn't favor the leg, which is good. He didn't have a brace on it yesterday when I saw him in the locker room. I mean, it says it's progressing, and nobody's put a timeline on it, but my guess is that he will be ready week one, so we'll be four.
Coming up, what's the timetable for Johnny Cueto's return? The guys will ask our Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich, that next at 9:30. And remember, you can take Joe Lo and Dibs on the go. Download the radio.com app today, fellas. I'm Stephen Lankford on the Bay Area's number one sports station, Dibs. That's 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Shout-outs. Shout-outs from the Chilton Auto Body text line. We love you in Lakewood, Colorado, Vancouver, Washington, the Alameda County Human Resources Department. The Meta's listening.
The Meta's listening.
IBEW Local 06, West Palm Beach, Elk Grove, Campbell, Sacramento, and Havana, Cuba. Cuba.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Strong.
Wow.
Can you believe that I know how to pronounce it correctly? Cuba. Cuba.
Cuba with a V?
Cuba. Yeah, have you ever seen Scarface? That's where I get that from.
Okay.
Everything I know about Cuba or Cuba comes from Scarface. Where else would it come from?
Castro? Say hello to my little friend.
Ugh. If you're going to just go back to activating your packs. What was going on out there? It sounded like a lot of horseplay.
Yeah, what were you guys doing out there?
I was just chatting with the midday show, okay. 10 to 2, keeping morale up, giving out some fist bumps. You, of course, were aloof and alone and on the phone while I was team building.
What are you doing?
It's what I do at 9:30.
I'm laughing at his comment. I'm just,
you literally
every place you run out there, you make a phone call, and then you come running back in.
Were you not alone?
I mean, he comes at me, and that was wrong. You asked what, that's just not
wrong. I'm going to the dial pad guest line. Oh, man. Giants insider, NBC Sports Bay Area, who always gets the worst lead-in possible. Alex Pavlovich with us here on 95.7 The Game. Alex, good morning, and thank you for your time. Let's start with Johnny Cueto. He's with AAA Sacramento. The report is apparently that he's going to make two rehab starts and then join the big club. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, that's been their plan, two in San Jose, two in Sacramento. So it'll be... August 26th, and then one more after that, and then I think that Dodgers series, it sounds like they'll have him up. But, you know, the one thing we talked last week about briefly was they considered him maybe skipping one of those starts, but I think you look at where they are after a couple losses here, and that probably won't happen.
What happens with the 40-man roster when Johnny Cueto is ready to go and you've got other guys in AAA, September call-ups maybe, who aren't on the 40-man and they need to come up? Is there any shocking move that's going to be made on that 40-man roster?
No, I don't think so. They have an open spot right now. So, you know, that's either him or Jalen Davis at some point. And I think that 40-man this time of year is really easy to handle because you either have guys who you know are not going to be here next year, and so you get rid of them a month before the end of the season, or you have potentially guys who are injured and are going to miss 2 weeks, but you can just put them on the 60-day injured list and clear spot that way.
Alex, very competitive series here with Chicago. Today, what are you looking for? How does this team make this bounce back, or do you think this is a foregone conclusion? Chicago goes for the sweep?
No, the Marlins pitch very well, so I think that's their best shot here. And you look at what happened the first two games, and it's been tough on basically every person who's had to throw a pitch. But, you can always come down to starting pitching, and they're facing a really good one today in Kyle Hendricks and somebody who's pitched really well recently especially. But Samardzija himself has kind of gone under the radar here, but he's been great for them for a couple months. So, you know, one of those days where you can maybe have the team on your back and go from there.
Alex Pavlovich with us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Jalen Davis earlier. He's been mashing. He's got Bonzian-like numbers in just 17 games with AAA. Do you see him joining the team at some point before the end of the season?
Yeah, I think for sure in September. I mean, to me, he's a guy, him and Dubon, two guys down there who they're going to take a look at. And, you know, it just kind of depends on what the situation is with the team, whether these guys are just getting that September taste and getting their feet wet, or whether they're playing a lot and trying to see what they have for next year. I think if you're, you know, they're 5.5 out right now. If you're 6, 7.5 out, those guys are going to play a little bit more.
When you look at the outfield as it exists now and as it'll be comprised going into next year, do you see the same figures and faces being in there, Yastrzemski and others, or do you see this outfield totally being turned over?
It's hard to tell with Farhan. I mean, he totally turned it over this year and has done a really good job. I wrote yesterday, they're third in WAR in the second half when you look at that outfield behind just the Yankees and the Dodgers. So they've turned this into a very productive outfield, and obviously last night they got some more from some of those guys. But I think they're always going to aim a little bit higher, and it's similar to what we saw in Los Angeles when he was there. Chris Taylor was a really good player, but they did not really pencil him in as their everyday second baseman or shortstop or left fielder or whatever. They kept aiming a little bit higher, and that just makes your roster deeper. So I think they're going to continue to aim higher. I think they have a good star right now with Yastrzemski. They have another year of Pilar if they want it. You know, Dickerson, we'll see if he can stay healthy. And certainly Austin Slater is somebody who's kind of gone under the radar here. But I would expect that if their plan going into the offseason is to maybe add two or three guys to that mix and continue to try to just get better. Because, you know, it's great if Yastrzemski's your leadoff hitter has done a nice job of it, but your team's much better if he's hitting sixth or seventh, if you have enough depth to do that. So that, to me, is what their aim is going to be.
Alex, with the season winding down and this team's outside looking in, don't know if it's going to make a wild card push or make it or not, can you see a difference in the skipper? And if so, what? How is he continuing to manage the team?
No, I think he's probably the last person in the world too who would allow you to, you know, look at the wild card standings and say, hey, you're 5.5 out now, you know, you were 3.5 out when you got here. I mean, he's not focused on stuff like that. He's going day to day, and you know, really some of these games we've seen a sense of urgency from him, and him managing like it is September or late September, and getting some guys in earlier, getting some starters out sooner, pinch hitting with guys a little bit sooner. So I think he really is managing the way he always has, and you know, he's going to do that until someone tells him he can't. And I, you know, if it keeps going this way, at some point the last week or two is going to be about him, but he has tried to avoid that and tried to really just keep the focus on coming in every day and trying to win.
Oh, good stuff as always. I got an almond caught in my throat there. Oh, that was terrible. I had an almond in the break. It just stabbed me in the throat. Alex, I was going to say, thank you for joining us, Giants insider, NBC Sports Bay Area, Alex Pavlovich, but I totally flubbed it. My apologies.
Those almonds are tough, so it's okay.
It's got to be one of those Fresno almonds. Thank you so much.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for joining us, Alex. That's crazy.
Couple almonds and a piece of celery during the break. Somehow, some way, it had just been waiting until the end and stabbed me right in the throat. Right in the throat as I went to say goodbye.
It's like a fried egg lie in the bunker. It's tough out. The dry almond right there in the throat.
That's what I get for trying to support Central Valley.
No, it probably wasn't the almond. Probably should get a sip of water, Joe, and wash it down a little bit better while me and Dibs, we'll carry the rest.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
go ahead and start carrying. Start carrying.
Go ahead and put the show on your back there, big man.
Drink it some water while we get a little bit out of this. What did you think about, you know, Alex, when he's talking about the skipper? You know, at the end of the season, you're under 30 games left. Do you see him trying to manage different because of the fact that he knows this is it for him?
What's to manage different? Well, you're still trying to manage every game to win. It's not like he's going to hold guys back, or he's not just going to roll out a bunch of bums.
No, more aggressive, maybe bringing different guys to see if I can help get to try to make this playoff push a little more. Because you see, why would you not at a time when you think this could be it? This could be it, like Michael Jackson, the final tour. This is it. Don't you take things a little different at the end? You know, they do on the farewell, wherever he's going, there's different things. They're acknowledging a skipper who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Wouldn't you, at times, you think that, hey, look, maybe I know it's over, so I'm going to push a little different. I'm like, hey, talk to Farhan. Maybe bring up guys quicker. Put guys on a shorter leash. You don't think any of those things go through his mind?
That is the longest question that has ever been asked.
Because Daniel looked at me in a way, and he just kind of...
That's like a three-minute question.
It was 17 questions is what it was.
Well, sometimes, Joe, you asked a question. You continue for 5 or 6 minutes. I was just trying to get it in. I was trying to accept you up, Daniel, but you chose to just like...
He's trying to set you up.
You kind of farted on it, though, Joe.
I haven't had a chance to fart on it or shart on it because you haven't stopped.
No, because I continued because you're like, oh, why would he manage anything?
So you're asking me if he's going to manage any differently to stay in the wild card race? And I don't think the answer is yes. The answer is no. He's going to manage the way he's managed for the entirety of his career, which is if a pitcher needs to be taken out, he'll take the pitcher out. He's going to set his lineup as he has throughout the course of his year and throughout the course of his career. Right-hand pitcher, you're going to stack it left heavy. Left-handed pitcher, you're going to stack it right heavy. So I don't think that the situation is going to change at all. Now, to Alex Pavlovich's point that he made, if they fall 7.5 out, 8 out of the wild card, and it really looks like your race has been run, then you might be in a situation where you manage a little bit differently because Farhan Zaidi will come down and say, we want to have a look at Mauricio Dubon. We want to make sure that Jalen Davis gets a lot of at-bats in the outfield. We want to see Tyler Beede, even though he struggled, we want to make sure he gets 5 or 6 innings. So at that point, things might change, but if they stay in the race, he's going to manage it the way he always has. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Maybe because, at least part of one of them.
No, because, for me, when I knew it was kind of over, I trained a little different. I took the game a little different, and you guys probably wouldn't understand that. And I think coaches and managers, when they know that this is final, and if you know that there's not a next year to this, do you take things a little differently in the sense that maybe you're saying, you know what, I see that this guy's probably playing a little bit better than Buster. Should I go with someone else? Should I put a guy and say, I'm going to try to keep this team more in it? And sometimes you have to make decisions that you wouldn't make sometimes in a time where you're leaving. So I didn't know if you just thought that that was – I wonder how he's thinking just with mentally as a skipper who's been around this thing for a while.
It's interesting, though, because organizationally, if you get to a point where you're out of the race, right, and you got 3 weeks left, they're going to want to see certain players on the field. Bruce Bochy, to your point, in the final 12 or 14, 15 games of his career – he still wants to go out and get as many wins as he can. He wants to end his career on a high note. So I think there will be a little bit of that. If the Giants are out of the race and you get down to the final couple, 2-3 games in Bruce Bochy's career with the Giants, you might see things a little bit different at that point. But all the way leading up to it, you're still going to see Bruce Bochy trying to manage to get as many wins as possible. He's 11 wins away from 2,000, and he sits 19 away from Leo DeRocher. DeRocher is 10th all-time. So if Bruce Bochy and the Giants win 20 more games, Bochy becomes the 10th winningest manager in the history of MLB. So the fact that those two things are still out there leads me to think that they're going to try to win as many of these games as possible.
No, I totally think that. I was just saying that I think that sometimes, though, when you know that it's final, are you quicker to pull guys because of the fact that next year, I got next year, but now I don't. And then when it gets to the end, like you're alluding to, where they're completely out, and yeah, you go with some young guys. See, I think the final game, I think that it's going to be more the end of it when it's totally over. I could see that Furhan talks to him and say, what do you want to do?
All the old heads. If they're out of it, he can do whatever he wants. I'm hoping Sandoval gets the elbow issue in check so he can come back and play all 9 defensive positions. So he can do everything. Pitch an inning, play an inning everywhere. That's what I would love to see. I hope they can figure out a way to do that. Couple shout-outs. Great job. That was great content. Great driving. The analysis was okay, too. But I really enjoyed the verbose driving. There's a lot there.
You can only make what you're given as far as ingredients go. So, I was expected to make a 5-course meal out of basically 2 cans of peas and some top ramen noodles.
You know what Jesus did with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread? He fed 5,000.
Yeah, amen, brother.
There you go. Shout-outs. We got some more shout-outs here.
Must have been
Steven
big fish.
Steven Mike from Richmond Sanitary. IBEW 595 Alameda County.
Every day, listeners.
More from the Mita.
The Mita.
More for the Mita. Do your part to make it a thing in the Mita. Listening out in Stockton.
You know that there's a difference between Alameda County and the city of Alameda, right?
It's all the Mita to me.
Okay. So you don't know that there's a difference.
It's like,
why don't you have a couple more almonds?
I want to eat those almonds later because I've been trying to change some of my dietary stuff. They got a lot of protein.
They're very good.
I count out 12 of them for the snack after the show. But the thing is, I choked on 2 of them. I don't know if I can go back and take that risk.
You got 10 more to go, kid. You're going to have to choke those
might
down.
Might have to be a pass.
And I am first aid and CPR certified, so if he does go into full choke mode,
you let me die. I don't want you kissing me. Just let me die.
First of all, you don't kiss someone when you perform mouth-to-mouth.
You don't perform mouth-to-mouth
when someone's choking. You do back blows, and then I get to absolutely pull on you and try to break a rib.
Don't let him touch me.
Trying to dislodge the item.
I'm letting you know now, if I'm choking and you touch me, I'll sue you.
So I don't have consent?
You don't have consent? No, okay. There's no consent here.
That's part of the procedure when you do CPR is you have to ask for consent.
Now that's just unbelievable.
It's a fact.
No, so, I know that. I'm not doubting that.
Let's go through this. Have another almond, and you'll start to choke. You'll do the choking sign, and I'll ask you, are you choking? And you'll nod.
And this little guy to give consent.
Then I have to ask him if I have consent.
What if he can't consent?
Who can properly make that decision while choking, right? That's like,
he's not in his right mind.
You're not in the right. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things where this you can. There's good Samaritan laws that protect you, but if you clearly say no, 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 and you're saying no, don't treat me, and I force myself upon you, I can be liable.
Yeah,
it's a fact.
And I got a nice little life insurance policy after the first one was born, so you just go ahead and you let me kick.
Okay,
they'll go ahead and ride it out. She'll probably find someone better, and they'll be better off.
Call Coase, let him know he's two almonds away from coming in tomorrow.
Yeah. Get him on standby. The Alert 5, I believe they called it in Top Gun. Hollywood and Wolfman were out there with Maverick and Goose. Or no. Iceman and Slider. Hollywood and Wolfman. Maverick was on the Alert 5 standby. And then they had to go to him because they ran into all those MiGs. They didn't, you know, they were hiding on the 1980s radar screen. Didn't see him coming. And that's really all Slider was there for.
And who was his partner in that? Because Goose was
Tim Robbins.
Merlin. Oh, good call.
Merlin.
Great call.
Yeah, I know my Top Gun. That's why when I tell you not to make another one, like Tom Cruise,
you will watch it. I
didn't say I wasn't going to watch it.
You're going to watch it.
I told you I don't like the idea of it. And this Matrix 4 thing. By the way, I'm a huge Matrix fan. Absolutely monstrous Matrix fan. Love that trilogy. They said they're making a fourth. It's coming out next year. While awesome, Keanu Reeves and Carrie Moss are coming back. They're going to be in it. If anyone saw the end of Matrix 3, how are they coming back?
Right.
Spoiler, they're dead. They're dead. So now all of a sudden, what are we doing? Are we going back in time to start this thing? Is it all a trick 20 years later? It turns out they didn't die. Not happy with that at all. And of course, I'll watch it and I'll probably love it. But it better be cutting edge, because the whole reason that first one was awesome was because the technology in it was cutting edge. If you just throw Chris Pratt Jurassic Park at me, I'm not going to be happy with that. So, Wachowski brothers, get on it. You really haven't done anything since then. I don't think it's a big ask.
Make it cutting edge or else is basically what you're saying.
That's the whole point of that movie.
They will for you.
You don't know that. You just said that with absolutely no basis or factual evidence whatsoever.
I love The Matrix and
you like them too?
They were good.
Twin Falls, Idaho, shout it out. We see you. We see all of you. Pleasanton, all of you are out there. We love you. We love all of you. The Oakland Raiders for talking about us on Hard Knocks. We love you too. Love everybody. ELE. Choking on almonds. That's like the woman, and this had to be just her trying to get attention, who was going around on talk shows saying that we were living in a new world now. We need to ask babies for their consent before we change their diapers. Because you're undressing them, and you need to get their consent.
Yeah, it's fake news.
Think about that for a second. That someone would, that not only would someone say that, fine. We get people say anything. But that you'll put them on TV to talk to them about it. It's not fake news. I watched it. I watched it because it was so incredible that something like that was happening. I had to watch it, which is probably why they do it.
Basically, you have to let your kid just sit around in his or her diaper for about a year, year and a half, until they have the language skills necessary to respond to your...
Coach, could be 2 years till you get some words. Like, 2 years is a reasonable amount of time.
That's a long time to be sitting and stewing.
For anyone to bring that person on their show, they need some help too. I mean, it's just crazy. If I'm gonna tell my kid he's got to tell me to change my diaper or not. That's just crazy.
Could you imagine having to do that?
No, I can't.
I tried it. I actually tried it with Wyatt. Just like I asked him for consent. He just sat there. He was screaming. There's no consent. So I didn't get consent.
Did you really?
Was like, this is, I was running material. Nikki had enough. I was just running material on this for like 2 days.
Right.
Because I could not believe it. And when you're living it live, it affects you.
Right.
I'm like, I cannot believe, what is this woman talking about? Like, I have one of these babies. I'm going to go lay him down on the changing table. What am I supposed to do? Look him in the eye. Hey, Wyatt, I'd like to change your diaper. You're covered in your own filth, but I'm going to need you to consent.
Sign here. I'm going to need you to initial on page 2 and page 3, and then one last signature with a notary, by the way, on page 4.
Think about that. Someone who, the only thing they do is crap all over themselves. You have to ask them to function enough to give you approval. If you were able to function to give the approval, you're probably advanced enough to not crap in your own pants repeatedly. So, you know, it kind of answers itself.
It's interesting you say that, because I knew a kid who was a toddler who could read the word toilet but chose not to use it. So it's like, whoa, what did you just say?
What would the kid do? Just go in his pants?
Yeah.
Kid was wearing a diaper?
Yeah. Kid was about 3, 3 and a half. Early reader, but not an early adopter of the facility. So it's not always a cognitive choice that one makes. Sometimes you just choose to go the lazy route. Anyhow, thanks. I don't know how we got to that. You're welcome.
It's odd.
You're welcome.
An odd anecdote there, but it's an anecdote nonetheless.
Speaking of you eating almonds and choking, bet 162.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Sao Paulo, Brazil. If that's legit, shout it out. Yeah, I don't like this today
at
all.
Lemoore and Hanford, 805. I see you got
like
there.
Hanford, yeah. We don't get anything from Lemoore, believe it or not.
Hanford, from there. Greater than Lemoore, that's why.
Hanford, alligator sign Lemoore, is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Hanford looks down upon Lemoore,
honestly,
without a doubt.
How does that work?
Because
you know,
Lemoore
like,
and Hanford,
New York
California.
Looks down on Jersey. How does Hanford look down on Lemoore?
No doubt.
Is
no
Lemoore
doubt.
Power ranked last of all those towns
he
in Central
mean,
Valley?
Don't listen to Dibs.
Well, where's Lemoore power ranked?
It's probably in the Central Valley. It'd be top 10. Without a doubt.
How many towns are we talking
oh
about
Oh, my
here,
God. Right? You got Heron. You got Corcoran.
Just give me a rough amount, like 50?
Oh, probably
Chowchilla.
More than that.
Chowchilla. Depends on how far you want to stretch it.
We're way better than Chowchilla. Top 10? Yeah, we're Lemoore.
Chowchilla's got that women's prison. What do you got?
Yeah.
Nothing.
We got a water park.
Yeah,
we got
that's right.
We don't want.
Is that Lemoore?
Yes, that's Lemoore. Do you want to be known
Kelly
for
Slater's
having a
million-dollar puddle?
Do you want to be known for a prison? That's bragging rights.
It's correctional facility. You're trying to rehabilitate people. You're doing something rather than just some fake wave that costs $50,000 for elitists to go have a nice afternoon. Spun that one around on you.
Yeah, man.
All right. We won our bet yesterday. It was a max bet. Come it got on. Us inside of 1,000 that were down. Minus 910 is the amount right now. Today, I don't like it. I'm going to make it very clear I don't like it. I'm going to go under 7.5. It's 105, 110. I'll play the bigger number. I'm going to be honest with this whole thing. I don't want anyone calling me out. Minus 110, one unit. Lay 110 to win 100 under 7.5. I don't feel good about it at all. At all. So that's that.
There you have it. Good luck.
Shout out Daly City. Those are coming in. Atlas Towing in San Francisco. We love you. Coalinga. Guam.
Coalinga.
Damn, Guam's listening.
We knew it.
We Guam's knew we were always Guam. Listening.
I've always maintained that we were huge in Guam. Nice guy. I know the show's over. I don't need the signal back there.
Yeah,
I don't
nice
need the
guy.
Signal.
Nice guy.
Show's done. Bonte, Steiny, Guru, guest free. Enjoy them. Jolo and Dibs. We'll see you tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.